This and every Wednesday on the Jefferson Exchange, we give you a chance to vent your spleen politely on topics in the news on the air. This week's topics, local pot taxes and wilderness photography fees and permits. Join us at 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, or by email jx@jeffnet.org. Let's talk about marijuana first. It seems this topic comes up a lot lately and certainly will again with Oregon voting on Measure 91 in November to legalize the personal use of pot. Cities around the state have discussed and in some cases passed local taxes on recreational marijuana in case Measure 91 passes. It's all in the timing. Measure 91's text gives the sole taxing authority over recreational pot to the state. So if it passes, the cities would not be able to pass new taxes on pot. But if the taxes are already in place, the thinking goes the story's different. Ashland City Council started this and did pass it. Talent took it up, as did Springfield, Hillsborough, Tigard, and Portland, and a few others. Your thoughts? Smart strategy for cities to bring in some revenue, or naked power grab in absence of an advance of potentially losing that power? Topic number two, which is the concern about wilderness areas and the things you are allowed to do in them. Generally, if your activities involve technology, they are not welcome in wilderness areas. The U.S. Forest Service is in the process of making permanent guidelines for still and motion photography in the wilderness areas it manages. When the Oregonian in Portland reported on the guidelines, the permit hit the fan. The paper reported permits and fees up to $1,500 and the potential for the Forest Service to deny permits to journalists who wanted access to report on stories that might have been unfavorable, or unfavorable in the view of the Forest Service anyway. The Forest Service chief has since stepped up to clarify things and extend the comment period on the rule from November 3rd to December 3rd. Well, let's talk in general terms then. Cameras in the wilderness areas, who should get to take them in? And under what conditions? I mean, this is an age when pretty much everybody who has a cell phone, which is nearly everybody, also has a camera at the same time. Should fees be charged for commercial uses, like shooting movies in the wilderness? That seems like a no-brainer to some people, but where does that line get drawn if you're just coming in with one handheld camera and no particular lighting equipment or anything else that's going to impact the wilderness? How much impact are you having? And does the First Amendment just trump all? I mean, the ability to go in and report on things or take pictures of things or look at things, really, and come back and tell the rest of the world about them is one of the areas in which people have been complaining about this discussion of the fees and permits for wilderness photography and videography in America. Join us on the Exchange. Your thoughts are welcome on this subject and on the concept of cities passing local taxes on marijuana, recreational marijuana, before Measure 91 even comes to a vote in Oregon in the November 4th election. Join us on the Exchange. This is Vents Day, your chance to vent your spleen on these topics. 800-838-3760 anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. A bunch of opinion writers have weighed in on both of these issues. The Herald and News in Klamath Falls in an editorial a week ago mentions the fact that Klamath Falls City Council members are thinking about plans to tax recreational marijuana if it becomes legal, but considering, as a lot of cities have also done, not taxing medical marijuana. The Herald and News editorial reads, "We don't buy the argument that somehow putting a tax on recreational pot legitimizes its use in advance of the November 4th statewide vote on the issue. What it does do is create a small revenue stream that could benefit the city, especially if marijuana abuse turns into a law enforcement problem, as we think likely. The Herald and News editorial continues, "Klamath Falls Council members should separate the issue of medical marijuana from the drug's recreational use. Medical marijuana shouldn't be taxed any more than any other medicine provided by prescription, which means zero." So Klamath Falls, another city council, thinking about taxing recreational marijuana in advance of the vote. I won't say the passage because we don't know that's going to happen, but the vote on Measure 91, which would legalize recreational marijuana for personal use in Oregon, as has already happened in Colorado and in the state of Washington. What are your thoughts on this? What's the proper approach? Is it just a naked power grab? Cities looking to get some revenue? Is it revenue for a good cause if, in fact, it is for things like enforcement and for putting more cops in the streets to check for DUI? For that matter, when we're talking about driving under the influence of marijuana, that's something that Washington and Colorado have certainly been dealing with. What are the levels of intoxication at which somebody should be cited? Join us with that on the Exchange. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's get into the other topic, which is about the wilderness areas and the concept of fees and permits from the Forest Service if, in fact, people want to go into wilderness areas with cameras in hand. As the Record Searchlight in Redding opines in its editorial, the press got pretty agitated late last week when another ridiculous restriction reared its ugly head. A U.S. Forest Service rule supposedly enacted 48 months ago is moving through the public comment period on its way to becoming permanent, carrying with it some unheard-of restrictions on press and public freedoms on public lands. As reported by The Oregonian, the rule requires reporters or photographers who shoot photos or videos in national forest wilderness areas to obtain a special permit that costs up to $1,500. Those who don't comply face fines of up to $1,000. Forest Service spokespeople later said that the $1,500 fee was wrong. The fees range from $30 per day for up to 3 days to as much as $800 for a large Hollywood-scale photo shoot. So not $1,500, but $800 as a cap, certainly. Under the vaguely written rule, the Forest Service could deny permits for projects that don't tell the story the way they want it told. The rules were adopted after the Forest Service refused to allow an Idaho public television crew into a wilderness area to film student conservation workers, The Oregonian reported. The station planned to sell DVDs of its episodes. The Forest Service backed down after the Idaho governor stepped in. That was in 2010. As the Record Searchlight editorial goes on, as written, the policy does allow news photos and videos during breaking news, in quotes, an event or incident that arises suddenly, evolves quickly, and rapidly ceases to be newsworthy, close quote. That might apply to this year's Eiler Fire in the Thousand Lakes Wilderness of the Lassen National Forest, or maybe not. That fire went on for weeks and didn't rapidly cease to be newsworthy. The Record Searchlight continues, when questioned about why such a rule was even necessary, Liz Close, the Forest Service's acting wilderness director, looked all the way back to the Wilderness Act of 1964 and gave Oregon Live a typical bureaucratic non-answer. It's not a problem, she said. It's a responsibility. We have to follow the statutory requirements. The editorial goes on, but that was before news organizations, both local and national, First Amendment advocates, and the National Press Photographers Association, jumped into the fray in a big way, muttering about potential lawsuits. A Shasta Trinity National Forest spokeswoman couldn't say much about the proposal last week and referred questions to the Forest Service spokeswoman in Washington, D.C. The Record Searchlight goes on, we'll give U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Tidwell some credit on this. By late Thursday night, he issued a release to clarify the agency's intentions. To be clear, he says, provisions in the draft directive do not apply to news gathering or activities, Tidwell said. The directive, he said, pertains to commercial photography and filming only. We take your First Amendment rights very seriously. This, again, is an editorial from the Record Searchlight, which goes on to say the administration has been good about saying that and bad about doing it. Perhaps Tidwell is the exception. Tidwell also said the deadline for public comment on the proposal has been extended from November 3rd to December 3rd based on the high level of interest in the issue. Now it's going to be up to Tidwell to live up to his assurances. Before new policies become permanent, he and his staff need to rewrite them to specifically outline to whom it applies. Otherwise, woe unto the next group of Girl Scouts that posts its wilderness photos on Instagram where, heaven forbid, somebody might buy a copy. The way the current rule is written, that might constitute a commercial use. Imagine the fines Ansel Adams would have paid. That from the Record Searchlight in Redding. What do you think? Fees and permits for photography in wilderness areas. Should there be any? If there should be some, who should be required to get them and for what purposes? And how much should they pay? You can weigh in with us, and you can certainly weigh in later with the Forest Service as it continues to take comments on this. We'll take your comments here and now. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. Our other topic on this Vents Day, cities and taxes, local taxes on marijuana, recreational marijuana, which of course is not yet legal in Oregon and won't be if voters vote no on November 4th. You're welcome to join us on this exchange on our Vents Day segment, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Julie in Ashland. Welcome to the exchange on Vents Day.
Well, hi there. I'm going to take a risk and sound kind of really out there, and that's okay because if someone wants to correct me, I'd love it because I don't like thinking these things. However, it's interesting that two things are together. The marijuana thing, I believe, is a real trend towards subduing our citizenry even more so that we will not be as conscientious about really guiding our own lives and our communities. For example, the wilderness thing is like nobody saw that coming. There's so much to keep on top of, and then now here it is, and we have to deal with it reactively. The thing I wanted to say about the wilderness, too, is I'm wondering if anyone else remembers about a year ago, it was around in April, I believe, the government shut down all of our parks for 2 weeks or so, 16 days, and wouldn't let anybody in. And I had the question in my mind, what were they doing? Why did they need to have so much privacy? And I happen to know someone who has a son who works in the Special Forces, and they were on a mission during that time. And so I'm just connecting dots that may be random and not even related, but I've just had this feeling that, you know, with all the controls government wants and all the technology that they have, even for climate control, whether it's good for us or not, I don't know. Maybe they're doing a really good thing for us. But, you know, these large forest areas, these vast miles of land, they probably need some locator kind of technology or cameras of their own for whatever they feel they need to have control of.
All right, let me separate these things out here. So first of all, the shutdown in parks and forests, I mean, there were some national park shutdowns last I remember, though, had everything to do with the government shutdown caused by Congress just not funding everything. I don't know of any other thing besides that.
Well, I'm just saying there's always a story. There's always what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I know how I sound, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
You know, if I have the fear of wanting to not sound crazy or conspiracy or whatever, then I hold all these things inside and it keeps us asleep and inactive on some things we may need to see. So I think keeping our forests open, you know, is part of what we need to see in our world.
Okay, you got it out there. Julie, thanks so much for sharing. Really do appreciate you joining us today on The Exchange on Vents Day. You can join us, too. As you're listening here, we can hear from you on the topics at hand on this Vents Day. Local jurisdictions passing taxes on recreational marijuana, which, in fact, is not legal in Oregon at this point. And unless the voters vote yes on Measure 91 on November 4th, will not be. But it's a preemptive move. If we get our taxes in place now and there's recreational pot, then perhaps we'll be grandfathered in, is the thinking. What do you think about that? Also, what do you think about the idea of charging fees and permits for photography and cinematography in wilderness areas? 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Paul in Grants Pass. Welcome back to The Exchange on Vents Day.
Good morning. Let's see, where do we start? Taxing marijuana. Absolutely. Absolutely. Local taxation. We live in a state where people grumble about taxes. We live in a state where people grumble about the intrusion of government from time to time. But if you live in a place like Colorado, you have a city-state tax. You have a county-state tax. You have a state-state tax. You may have a special district sales tax as far as those kinds of things go. And it all adds up to one number. So right now we have room taxes in a lot of communities to help subsidize things. We have development charges on a lot of different development projects that we have when you're putting up houses that make sense. So we should probably have, we have taxes on cigarettes, we have taxes on fees that we pay on alcohol as sin taxes. So this just becomes another sin tax. Having the city be the taxing authority is absolutely fine unless the state steps in and does it themselves. I had thought OLCC was going to administer that particular program. However, the place where everybody is missing on this is on ice cream. Because then we could have a thin tax.
All right. Well, you know, the interesting thing about this, that you're talking about the taxation of the state would be taxing this. I mean, OLCC, I believe, would have a stake in this through Measure 91. But we're talking about the state taxes in addition to potentially these municipal taxes. If, in fact, when the lawyers sort things out, they figure out, oh, well, these taxes were in place before the measure passed, therefore they can stay. My guess is you'll probably find a bunch of other lawyers arguing the other way. No, Measure 91 specifically proscribes taxing authority outside of the state government.
Right. Pile it on, as far as that goes. The problem with it all is that every time you add some form of taxation to this, you'll find somebody who finds a way around it. Untaxed cigarettes are a problem all over the country, for example. It's one of the profit centers for organized crime.
Well, especially because people could be able to grow their own marijuana. I don't see, you know, taxing it from a city level. If you're getting it for your own use or you're selling a couple of joints to friends or stuff, how they get into that transaction?
Well, there'll be a threshold, just like everything else. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're buying it from a dispensary or a store, then they'll pay the tax. If it's a street transaction, then that can never be taxed. You know, they're not going to put Stasi on the streets and follow you around, in my opinion. Now, on the wilderness, I've got a very, very different feeling about that. You know, Will Rogers, I think, summed it up the best in terms of government rulemaking and government treaties when he said, "The white man promised us the land for as long as the grass shall grow and the river shall flow, and then he puts us where the grass don't grow and the rivers don't flow." He was talking about the move to the Oklahoma reservation.
Oh, right, yeah.
Under the Roosevelt administration. But with access to the wilderness and in photography in the wilderness, I've got a real problem with that. That is a free speech issue, and that is something that is set aside for all of us. Now, if I'm going to go in and shoot a movie and I have to cut a road to bring in a bunch of equipment or something along those lines, yes, I could see a development fee for something like that. But if I'm John Q. commercial photographer and I spot a beautiful waterfall, snap a picture of it and sell it? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. That's just beyond the pale in terms of trying to seize fees. Everybody's hurting for money. We're down over 30% in terms of staff. Everybody's hurting for money. But that kind of a thing is too much of an impingement upon our freedoms as Americans to enjoy the lands held in public trust.
All right, Paul, thank you. Always good to hear from you. This is Vince Day on the Exchange. Our topics are local marijuana taxes being considered by cities in Oregon and wilderness photography fees and permits considered by the Forest Service. You're welcome to join us, 800-838-3760, 541-552-6782, email jx@jeffnet.org. Ryan and Eugene, you got the floor.
Well, hey, this is great. You know, as long as the taxes stay low enough that we don't just reintroduce the black market, which is, I think, the only real benefit of having legalized recreational marijuana. But anyway, you know, I completely vehemently disagree. I think the wilderness was set aside as a special place that should be as devoid of technology as possible. Individuals carrying cell phones, small cameras are fine, maybe a little video camera. But if I were to be out hiking in the wilderness where there's no signage, the trails aren't even marked anymore, and I come across a crew with their lighting and their generators, I mean, at what point do we expect that to be regulated by the Wilderness Act? You know, people are conflating public lands. You even said national parks, which is not the issue. So, you know, I just think that there is an opportunity to go out into wildness and experience wildness, and there's an obligation in regulating that to say there's no motorized vehicles, there's no generators, you cannot take a motorcycle out there. You know? Mm-hmm. And I think that this level of commercialization is unacceptable. And so how does that get regulated? What's the permit process? I think it's fine. You know, I think the clarification made abundantly clear that this is for commercial use.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to go bust somebody because they took a picture of a waterfall in a wilderness area with their nice little digital, you know, 2-pound digital camera and sold it. But, you know, there is a fine line. And so how do you define that fine line? And I don't think freedom of speech comes into this at all. But anyway, that's my rant for this morning, Jeffrey.
All right. Good rant. Thanks for that, Ryan. Always good to talk to you. Let's go to Cindy in Neyland, California. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi. I think people have already kind of said what I was planning to talk about the forest and charging. But I think a lot of it has come from the fact that many government agencies have ceased to become important to what the public or people need. And their mission has just had this gradual creep into into everything else around that, and the public is being treated as a liability, as a danger to be kept out or kept away or just removed from the equation. And I think that public lands, that means public lands are available for commercial people as well as private people. The only exception is, I agree with the last fellow, that if you have to do something, if it takes extra security or if it uses excess resources, in other words, somebody comes in with 30 people.
Well, if it's generators and technology and big lights and stuff, that sort of goes against the grain of wilderness areas anyway. I'd be surprised if the Forest Service would say yes, even without the money for a permit there. You know, if they just say, look, well, how about shooting over here in this forest that looks like wilderness?
I agree. I agree that that is already available to them, and that's as far as they should go.
All right. Thanks for that, Cindy. Always good to talk to you. Let's go to Bill in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day. We're talking about local pot taxes and wilderness photography fees and permits.
Hi. Thanks a lot. As far as pot, tax it just like you tax alcohol. It's in tax. It's a drug. It's not a positive thing. People need it to, like religion, opium of the masses, just to get through. And it does cost society a lot with crime, like alcohol does, and, you know, and medical expenses and other types of things that marijuana affects them. But tax them heavy, just like you would alcohol or cigarettes. And then as far as the outdoors, I spend a lot of time backpacking and stuff. Last thing I want to see is a company in there making a movie. Don't let them in. If somebody wants to take a camera in, backpack in, take a camera, photographer to take pictures, great. He can sell them. It helps push the environment issue to keep the place nice. But no commercial in our wilderness or forest lands.
All right.
As far as news people, they can backpack in. I've seen them.
Yeah.
Them carry in a camera with for sound.
Done it myself.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, let's keep it pure. I mean, just news. Actually, yesterday, NPR said if you took all the wildlife in the world in 1970, half of it is gone now, since 1970. So let's protect what little wildlife we have, and that's unbelievable. We've lost half our wildlife since 1970 in the whole planet.
All right. Thanks for that, Bill. Appreciate it. And, of course, you know, some scientists even refer to what is going on right now as the sixth great extinction. And if you think about the dinosaurs disappearing as one of the previous five, then you realize the level of seriousness that they're applying to this. If you are curious about commenting on the Forest Service permit process for wilderness areas, that deadline again has been extended into December, and we do have a link from the Vents Day story on our website, ijpr.org or jeffexchange.org. This has been Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange, our weekly venting. Thank you for joining us.